Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my...
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny and owner of My Best Friend Dog Training.
Karen and I hope you'll listen to our very informative and educational program for the next half hour as we talk about all things dog. We've spent the better part of the last couple of months interviewing experts in this field, including veterinarians, scientists, and authors, and other well-respected trainers. We were very honored a couple weeks ago to talk to Victoria Stillwell, who is the TV trainer on Animal Planet's It's Mayor the Dog. But today, we want our program to be all about you. We invite you to call us during the show with any questions you might have about your own dogs. Our number to call this morning is 856-227-1360. Again, that number is 856-227-1360. Give us a call and let us know if you're having any behavior problems with your dogs. Karen and I are here to help you and to share our ideas, training advice, and concerns. Our goal is to help you have the best relationship possible with your canine companion pet. Karen and I are also going to be answering some emails today that we received over the last week from you, our listeners. Anyone can send us emails at www.jerseydogtrainer.com or www.mybestfrienddogschool.com.
Hey, Rini?
Yes?
Before we get started, I'd like to tell you about some of the services that I offer in the Keyport, New Jersey area and its surrounding towns as a professional dog trainer and behavior specialist. But during the break, why not dial our number, which Rini just said, which is 856-227-1360, and we'll put you on hold. When we come back, we'll be speaking with you.
Okay, hold on, everybody.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Rini.
Hope you had a good week.
I had a great week.
Good. We received an email this week from Liz, who lives in Westfield, New Jersey. I think that's up in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it is.
Good. She writes, I have a 12-year-old miniature poodle who has always been very well behaved. Recently, though, she's begun to lose her eyesight due to cataracts. And whenever somebody enters a room she can't see who it is, she growls and snarls at them. Last week, my husband reached out to pet her, and she snarled and snapped at him. Please help, because my husband is really upset that she did that to him, and he's very afraid she's going to bite somebody.
Well, yeah, she is going to bite somebody. And the reason why she's doing this, and this happens to a lot of dogs that lose their sight, I mean, some do so gracefully, and they'll, you know, kind of rely on their owners to give them cues, and their owners are pretty good at it. But the thing is that, you know, your dog is losing a very a sense of sight and something that it's relied on most of its life to keep an eye on us and our movements, which we're very unpredictable. Even though we think we're predictable, we're very unpredictable. And it could cause some dogs to become very fearful. And rather than, you know, trying to walk away or avoiding the situation, they'll growl and snarl as a warning, like, hey, I'm freaked out. Or you know, especially if, like, you're reaching for the dog. If one eye has a cataract and the other doesn't, and you reach towards the part of the head that has the cataract, the dog's not going to be able to see you until it's, like, close by, and then it's going to snap. So it's kind of like, I mean, they could smell you. So, I mean, there is a behavioral issue involved in that, but usually it's the emotions of the dog and the fear of the dog overrides all of that. So it's like the equivalent of, like, a bee flying near your head. I mean, you're just going to swipe it away,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if you think someone's a bee is near you, somebody's, like, touching your head with a piece of paper and it's someone you know, you're going to go, ugh, and you're going to, like, throw your hands up in the air and you're going to, like, crack them in the mouth or you're going to do something, even though you know they're standing there. It still freaks you out. So my suggestion for dogs that have this issue is to help them through it, and you could greatly reduce snarling and growling and these kinds of issues by providing the dog with cues that you're coming into the room, that you're close by. I had a client up in Inglewood that had a similar situation, and I told them whenever they come down the stairs, either they can ring a bell or they can call the dog's name and say, hey, we're coming. You know, so that way when they come downstairs or they're coming into a room, announce that they're here. Hello, here I am. So the dog knows that you're there and anticipates a pleasant experience as it has throughout its whole life, and there's no need to growl and snarl. And that's pretty much it. And, you know, I'll give that a couple of weeks and see how that goes. If you don't have success with giving your dog cues, then I would bring the dog to a trainer, have a trainer come to the house or visit a behaviorist.
Karen,
what do you have to say on that, Rena?
Karen, I do have a couple suggestions, and I certainly agree, because that's what I was thinking about while you were talking, that people need to talk to the dog as they enter a room or as they walk toward the dog so that he or she knows that they're there. They're, you know,
mm-hmm.
dogs can have a startle response, as we would, just like you said, if a bee was flying around our head,
mm-hmm.
or even if somebody, I do this all the time in my house. My husband thinks it's funny, but I'll come out of a room and he's standing right there and I don't expect him to be there. I jump 10 feet away.
Right.
I just have a really strong startle response to something that I'm not expecting.
Oh, I have to remember that.
Right, especially if you come visit me and I don't know you're there. I might take a swat at you. Yeah, I mean, so you don't want to startle any dog because their first response is, how do I defend myself?
Mm-hmm.
Something bad could happen to me. The other thing that I was going to make a suggestion about, and I don't know if you have any kind of resource in your area, but in the South Jersey area, in Medford, New Jersey, I know that we have a veterinary ophthalmologist here. His name is Dr. James Clinton. And so maybe our emailer might want to do a Google search and find out his phone number. I know he's definitely in Medford. He's got an excellent reputation. And even though she's 12 years old, maybe there is something that they can do for her. We don't know. So, but I agree with everything that you said. Make sure that you let the dog know. Now, your emailer doesn't state whether or not there are children in the house.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, she didn't say that.
That would be a concern for
That's
me.
That's a big problem because kids are very unpredictable as it is.
Absolutely, and they scream and they get excited and they run. And so it's very, very important in this particular situation especially to supervise.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that an adult is with the child any time that child is with the dog.
Right. Even a well-behaved dog, you want to give constant supervision.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I kid around with my clients, and they'll say, well, how long do we have, you know, what age do we stop supervising our children around the dogs? When can we trust both together? And I'll tell them, well, when your kid is 30.
You know? Yeah, right.
You know, but, I mean, you can never be too careful.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's a shame, you know. I mean, she's been well-behaved up until now, so
right.
give her a break.
I mean, this clearly indicates that I mean, from the email, it clearly indicates that it's related to the sight.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I would contact that ophthalmologist. I mean, you know, he probably has some really good suggestions.
Right, and Medford's not that far from your area.
Nah,
I mean, it might take them maybe 45
really
minutes to an hour to get there. You know, I've heard nothing but wonderful things about him. So, well, listen, Karen, do you want to give out our number again?
Yeah, just so you know, hey, folks, don't forget to give us a call this morning at 856-227-1360 if you have any questions about your own dogs or even someone else's dogs. You got a neighbor that has a dog that has issues and, you know, you want to talk about that.
Or vent.
First, yeah, exactly. First, I want to take a short break while Renee can tell you what she does as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant in the South Jersey area.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Renee Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. Let me give you our number again. We really would love to have you call and keep us company today. Our number is 856-227-1360. Again, 856-227-1360. Are you having a behavior problem with your dog? Do you feel like your dog is out of control? Or are you experiencing a problem with a rescue dog who might be fearful or having separation anxiety issues? Give us a call and we'll try to talk you through some and give you some help about how to straighten out your problems here. Last week, we had a guest by the name of Jessica Janowski. Jessica is a really great trainer. She's from New Hampshire, and she was talking to us about ways of teaching a very excitable, overly energetic, and pretty much out-of-control dogs to calm down. Frank from Haddonfield, New Jersey, emailed me and told me he was listening to that show, and he wanted to get some help for his black lab, Charlie. So apparently Charlie seems to lose his little mind anytime people come to the home to visit. He jumps all over people because he wants their attention as soon as they come through the door. Frank wants to know how he can teach Charlie to be calmer during greetings. Well, I'm going to answer you in a, about this, Frank, but I suspect that Charlie gets excited about a lot of stuff, that he probably gets excited in any social situation. Lots of labs are just like that. You know, they're bred for, most labs are bred for hunting, and in order to have a job like that, you have to have a lot of energy, and so that comes hardwired with the breed. So here's what I'm going to tell you about how to calm a dog down, not just when a dog greets people, but in any circumstance. But let's talk about the greeting behavior first. When you have guests come to your home, first thing you need to do is have your dog on the leash. If you're giving Charlie the freedom to be the first greeter at the door, then Charlie is going to be jumping all over everybody because he's just so exuberant and happy to greet people. And every time he does that, he's just improving those inappropriate skills. You know, every time he practices that behavior, he's going to get better and better at it. So what you...
Can I interject, Reedy?
Uh-huh.
I would suspect that as you said earlier when you started answering, you know, Frank's question, that the dog, you suspect that the dog gets reactive at other things, too. And I would suspect that the dog, when the doorbell rings, the dog goes completely nuts.
Uh-huh.
And the second thing is a lot of these dogs that show this overexcitement when people come through the door, usually, in most cases, the owner makes a huge deal of when they come through the door at night. They may lavish the dog with lots of attention and allow the dog to engage in that inappropriate behavior with them, but then they don't want the dog to do the same kind of behavior with strangers.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, when we take our kids, we're like, all right, you can eat with your hands at our table, but don't dare do that in a restaurant. You know, we can, like, logicalize that with a kid,
mm-hmm.
and they will eat with a fork and knife when they go to the restaurant, hopefully. But it's the same kind of thing with the dog. So I would say probably the first thing to work on, besides what Reenie is discussing, that's definitely an excellent suggestion to start with. But then I would start working with the sound of the doorbell. And there's several ways to do that. I mean, you could simply have, you know, the doorbell rang over and over again and have nobody at the door, which is a technique that I use. I usually go to, like, Home Depot or any of those home supply stores, and I buy a doorbell, and I use that to ring. Another suggestion is actually changing the tone of the ring. So if you have a ding-dong, you might want to get a Westminster chime or something else that doesn't have those same tones. That is a reliable cue that all this excitement is about to happen. And control your own greetings when you come through the door. If you come through the door at night and Charlie's there, and he's, oh, boy, you're home. Just walk through the door, go through your mail, maybe get something out of the refrigerator, pour yourself a glass of milk or whatever. Wait for the dog to calm down. And when he calms down, then you could give him attention. So that way the dog starts to realize, gee, I get rewarded when I'm in a calm state and I'm not a lunatic. What else do you have to say about that, Reenie? What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I can picture Charlie at the door jumping all over everybody. And probably Frank has hold of Charlie's collar and he's pulling him back. So by pulling him back, you're actually aggravating the situation, and you might Charlie might start to develop a negative reaction to a collar grab too. So that's why I like the leash, and I always tell everybody that your leash is your best friend. That's the only way you're going to have complete control of the dog. And what I like to do is to teach dogs to do a polite sit for greeting, and I have the dog to learn, he has to learn how to do this. It's not going to happen, you know, in one fell swoop. So he has to teach Charlie to sit by his side and also teach the human greeters not to look at Charlie, not to talk to Charlie, and certainly not to pet Charlie, because any interaction when a dog is in that state of mind is going to increase the excitement.
Absolutely.
So the greeter has to be as boring as possible to teach the dog this is not an exciting situation, and if you want to greet somebody, you have to be perfectly quiet. You have to be still. And then if that happens and the dog is still for at least a few seconds, the greeter can take a step toward the dog. And here's what will happen if the dog is not well trained. The dog will then lunge forward and try to jump again.
Right.
So then the guest has to take a step back and retreat. Again, not saying anything, but all Frank has to do is tell the dog to sit. If he sits again, you try it again. And again, this could happen for the next 5 minutes. Otherwise, if they're not going to work it through, the dog is never going to learn how to greet people appropriately, whether he's in the home, whether he's out on the street. It's just always going to be a free-for-all.
A suggestion with the jumping.
Okay.
And I use this a lot. And you know, I mean, I don't suggest that anybody who has problems with balance, or if they're fragile in any way or ill, I recommend that good, strong, sturdy people that don't have any health issues could do this, or they can bring a trainer in and do this technique. And what I do is, since the dog loves to jump, and loves to engage in this kind of crazy behavior is that I use that behavior as a reward. So what I will do is first teach the dog what jump means and what off means. Because if the, even if the some dogs, I mean, hopefully we can get him into that sit, but some dogs just become so excited and it's physically, physiologically really impossible for them to remain in one spot. They may sit there, but they're going to be herky and jerky and they're going to be moving and their tail's going to be gone. There has to be some sort of movement. So with dogs like this, if it's a family that could tolerate it, is to provide the dog with an outlet for that energy. So he can walk around, he can, you know, stand by his owner and wag his tail and do those kinds of things, but not engage in jumping. So what I do with a dog like this is I will have a whole bunch of treats, or have treats handy, and I'll encourage the dog to jump on me, and I'll tap my chest, and I'll tell him, jump! And it looks at me like, what? Because it doesn't know what I mean. And I'm, oh, yeah, get it all. I get the dog excited, and I say, jump! And then the dog jumps on me, and I say, good job, off! And I'll wait until all four paws are on the floor, and I'll say, good, off! And I'll give him a treat, or I'll say, good job, jump, oh, and I'll give him a whole bunch of kisses and hugs and everything like that. So you can either use the jumping as a reward or you could use treats. It depends on what the dog really gets a rise out of. I mean, if he's a food junkie, then food is your power. If he just loves jumping, you know, he's the kind of dog that's like literally jumping in the air, you know, catching butterflies and things like that, then this is a great technique to use to give the dog an outlet on cue. So he knows when he can jump and when he can't.
All right, I have to interject something here, Karen, and this is common that two trainers will never agree 100% on anything. So I don't use that. I have seen somebody do it very effectively on a video, and I was really impressed with it. Number one, she did not teach the dog to jump on her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she taught the dog to jump straight up. But only out of desperation, because the dog was just such a confirmed jumper that she wound up doing this as a last resort. One of the things that you can do with Charlie also, two things. You can teach him to go get a toy. I like that much better, because if the owner teaches him a jump cue and he learns to jump on the owner, I'm not 100% convinced that he's not going to generalize that to a guest or another man.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather teach the dog to go away from the greeter, from the person who's coming in the door. Go grab a toy, keep your mouth busy on the toy, and greet somebody that way. The other thing that I would also encourage Frank to do, and he might need a trainer to help him, is to teach the dog to go lay down on a mat. I do this in my classes a lot. I teach the dog by a door. Somebody on the outside of a wooden door in my classroom knocks on the door, and then the owner brings the dog up to the door on leash and then issues the dog to his own mat, where he gets to learn how to lie down and how to stay while the greeter comes in and offers a treat to the dog while he's on the mat. So
you know what? It's funny that you bring that up, because believe it or not, that's, you know, I use that exact technique on my German Shepherd, although I didn't do it as much as putting a mat on the floor and telling him to go to his spot.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did, and he was a jumper. Oh, boy, did he love it. So what I would do is when I walk through the door at night, he would just lose his mind. He still does.
Mm-hmm.
But now he lays down and he waits for me to approach, and he puts his head all the way down. He tries to make himself small, and he waits patiently. His tail might be slamming against the couch or the floor, but he lays there patiently, and he'll lay there for an hour until I come there.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I did that is when I came through the door at night, I wouldn't give him any attention at all until
nice.
I found him in a down position,
mm-hmm.
whether it be laying on my furniture, which he's allowed to be on, or laying on the floor. When he laid on the floor and he was calm, then I would go over and I would lavish him with attention. If he started getting excited, I would get up and walk away again.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was my dog learned very quickly that if he wants me to give him one-on-one when I come home, the very first thing he needs to do is to lay down. and just stay there. And mm-hmm. I can't help it. I'm drawn. When I see him there, I'm like, oh, you're such a good boy. You know, and I go over. And now, he's so solid with that.
Good.
He even does that with visitors.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
That's great. So, and I can picture you greeting your dog because you're like an excited puppy.
Oh, okay, I'm crazy.
You're crazy. So, last week Jessica's talk was very informative, not just, I think, for our listeners, but for us, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say I was working with your dog who is lying down, but let's say he's generally excited with everything, and I really want to teach that dog to be a calmer dog, to teach him just that life is not all that exciting. It's positive,
right,
but it's not all that exciting. And let's say you as an individual hired me as a trainer to help teach your dog to be a calmer dog,
mm-hmm.
and your dog was laying down and that tail was slamming against the floor, I still wouldn't interact with him. That's what I'm trying to get across to people is that the tail banging against the floor, that dog's emotions are still through the roof. So if we
I know, but I can't help myself.
No, I'm not good at. No, I know.
He's so good, he just stays there.
Right, but
although,
I'm talking.
I figured I could let my dog get away with that. You know, I can't let him get away with smiling in the way that dogs do with their tail. You know,
right?
So,
no, I understand that, but I mean, if
but you're right, they are still in a very excited state. Of
right, mind. And if your dog was having a problem,
mm-hmm.
with that excitement level, and it was coming out in different ways that was getting him and you possibly into trouble. Because don't forget, if you take an excitable dog outside for a walk and he's just used to jumping and a lot of labs and other breeds who are just out of their minds with excitement start to get mouthy. Then they nip. So now the excitement is going at a higher level, and suppose that a child says, oh, can I pet your dog? And
right.
that, I wouldn't let anybody pet my dog if he was doing that, especially a child, because that child could get nipped in the hand.
Yeah.
Most dogs love children. And so the excitement level might even be coming up a little bit further if a child is in the picture.
Right.
So we have to be very careful. And trainers, they say a lot of times trainers will be perfect with their clients, and then you go visit a trainer and the trainer's dog is out of control.
Yeah, it sounds like my
house. Well, okay, so I can understand that, and so my dog.
No, I'm only kidding.
No.
I let my dogs get away with a lot of things, but I mean, they're not out of control. Anybody that comes to my house says my dogs are green.
Right.
No,
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
We do have a tendency to kind of be a little bit hypocritical. I mean, we teach clients' dogs to do all sorts of things. And
right.
I don't really think it's our fault. We just don't have as much time as we do for the clients, which is kind of a shame.
I know. But I want people to remember one thing before we end our show today. When dogs are hyper excited, your rule of thumb should be ignore
mm-hmm.
until the dog is calmed down. Now let's say the dog is jumping up on you. If you're able, turn your back and ignore the dog. Take a few steps and walk away from the dog. And if it gets really, really bad, your next option could be walk through the bathroom door, walk out of the door, go somewhere and teach your dog that when you jump like that on me, you make me disappear.
But, I also want to let our audience know that, if you're going to try any of these techniques, keep in mind it takes time. I mean, don't expect a miracle. Don't expect it to do this two or three times and have your dog behaving perfectly.
Right, it takes time.
And that frustrates a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Like, we keep doing it, and, he keeps doing this, So, either the training is inconsistent, you're not rewarding the behavior when it's actually happening, what you like, but just give it some time.
Right.
And if you're persistent.
It takes time. It does take
And you don't
time.
Give the dog any opportunity to be rewarded in any way whatsoever when it's engaging in the behavior that you don't like,
mm-hmm.
then you should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we're running out of time.
We are, right? Just a little bit, but I want to spend the next 10 seconds or so reminding people. Lots of people are getting puppies at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, guys, puppy kindergarten classes are very important. Don't neglect taking your puppy to kindergarten. They need the socialization both with people and with other dogs. Don't wait until the dog is 6 months or four months to start socializing. Get that puppy into a puppy kindergarten class.
And puppy kindergarten, a good one, will take dogs 8 to 12 weeks of age.
That's right. That's me.
That's right. There's no such thing as puppy kindergarten after 12 weeks of age. That dog is already past socialization period. So it's really important.
Karen, we got to go, honey.
Looks like we're
running out of time. I hope everybody tunes in again next Thursday morning right here on WNJC, 1360 AM from 10 to 10:30. Talk to you next week.
Take care.
I'm glad.